Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 18th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and today we sit down with J.J. Woods, the managing director of Atlantic Casino Consulting, about how new regulations in Ireland have at least a small chance of growing the casino industry there. This week's podcast is sponsored by Global Payments Gaming Solutions, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. Learn more at globalpaymentsgaming.com.
There'll be days like this when you don't need an answer. It'll be days like this when you don't meet a chancer.
Gaming in Ireland has been operating in a gray area since the early 2000s, when British-style membership clubs began to be established. A new set of gaming regulations has been set up recently, along with a new regulatory scheme. J.J. Woods has been consulting on gaming projects around the world for more than 30 years and is the unqualified expert on gaming in Ireland. While he is optimistic that the new regulations will help grow the Irish gaming industry, he said specifics are few and far between because a lot of issues need to be decided. He spoke with me from his offices in Dublin in January. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is J.J. Woods, probably the top expert in gambling in Ireland. J.J., thanks for joining us today. It's good to see you.
Hi, Roger.
It's been a while since we got together, and with all the COVID stuff and the ice here and there, you know, different times of the year, it's really good to see you and catch up on what's going on in Ireland. Why don't you give us a little thumbnail of where, while gambling has been legal in Ireland for a lot of years, it's always been restricted. So what was it, what did it look like before the recent regulatory reforms were started?
Well, I guess, Roger, thanks very much for having me on. I guess to start with, as you probably know from our dealings over the years, around about 2000, I guess,
right,
late 90s anyway, the law was circumvented, so to speak, where private members clubs started to open all over the country. This was the first time that live gaming, mm-hmm, was offered. For example, the blackjack and roulette and right, these type of games. So prior to that, you always had a very, very large amount of slot machine arcades. And there's a bit of a confusion there because some of them were amusement arcades, mm-hmm, which meant that they had to be almost like children's games.
Right.
As things progressed, they amounted to having actual gaming. But the big mistake, I guess, in those days, and it goes way back to the 50s, was the government, in their wisdom, if we go back to the 1950s, rather than turn these properties into gambling dens, when somebody would actually apply for permission to open one of these arcades, slot machine arcades, the government didn't want it to turn into a gambling den.
Sure.
So in their wisdom, they actually, and they said, you must offer other forms of amusement. This was probably one of the biggest mistakes that hopefully now the Irish government will correct, because for the last 60 years, we actually broke the first rule of any gaming legislation, which is to protect the young and the vulnerable.
Right.
What Ireland actually did was mixed amusements, which were children's games, penny pushers, cranes, lifting teddies up, that type of stuff. I suppose we mix candy floss with hard gaming, okay, all under the same roof. And the intention now, all these years later, is to start putting that right. If we go back to 2000, this is when the private members club started opening. In other words, this is the first time that these clubs were offering blackjack and roulette. They didn't really go for slot machines. They just purely went for the live games. And the private members clubs, you had 50, 60 of these clubs around the country. They still exist today, but not as many.
Right.
And I guess these were all pushers to push the government to actually do something and change the law that dates back to 1956. And it's important to remember that this law hasn't been properly altered or upgraded since 1956 and right. since now when we have a new regulator installed.
Right.
So okay. there's a lot of work to be done here, Roger.
Okay, great. So were these private member clubs similar to the private clubs in the UK?
Very much so. In fact, I think that would probably be the model, as you says, Roger. Like, these are gentleman type clubs. Some of them are awful. Some of them were actually quite beautiful. The ones I opened were beautiful.
Yeah, right.
But the ones I consulted on, they're very much like gentlemen's clubs, and very good service, beautiful plush carpets, you know, the brass
right,
lighting
sure, right.
over the pictures, that type of oak room style, you mm-hmm. know.
Okay. So how much illegal gambling was going on during that time?
Well, again, Roger, you know, it depends on that term that you use, illegal. I mean, they operated in an area that had no proper regulation
right.
or law for them. And I've always said this many years, many, many times before I've been saying this. It's not a situation where there is a defined law against that type of gaming.
Uh-huh.
It's more important that there was no law for them.
Okay.
And that's when you create a gray area.
Right.
No law against.
Right.
No law for.
Right.
And that's where we're at the moment, a gray area.
And how about the high street bookmakers? They proliferated pretty well, right?
Yeah. I mean, if we go back to 2000, 2001, 2002, I mean, Paddy Power, which Dash, Flutter, they basically became a monopoly
mm-hmm.
In this country for sports betting. And the space became very competitive because you had Ladbrokes, Boyle Sports, William Hill.
Right.
And they were all trying to grab a slice of this cake, if you like. But what actually happened was a lot of the private independent bookmakers went bust, because they couldn't compete with these large monopolies.
Right.
And of course, we've no law against, you know, like in the UK, you have laws for you have the Monopolies Commission.
Sure.
There's no such thing. So they were allowed to proliferate. You had Paddy Power's opening shops everywhere. And it's very important to remember as well, even though this is online sports betting, every single one of those companies I've mentioned, they all had a retail presence on the street.
Right.
So they basically had land-based operations.
Mm-hmm.
So you had several hundred Paddy Power shops, several right. hundred Ladbrokes shops. And of course, they also had their online. Needless to say, none of their servers were in this country. Their servers were in Jersey, Gibraltar, Malta. Sure. And that's how they operated. That's basically, I suppose, Paddy Power grew into what they are now today,
right?
Through that expansion, especially then into the UK and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Okay. Great. So, explain how the new regulations came about. I mean, we were talking about this back in the early 2000s, you know. So,
well, I'm glad you said that, Roger. I really am pleased because you and I are both getting older.
Right.
But there's this thing that the regulation or this research into regulation started in 2013 when they actually printed a research paper in July, I think, 2013 that happened. The truth of the matter is, and you just said it yourself, Roger, my first submission goes way back to Bertie O'Hearn. When Bertie O'Hearn was mm-hmm. the Taoiseach or the Prime Minister of this country, he requested that I do a submission
right.
on gambling to the government. Now, that was back in 2007.
Yeah.
So we can safely say that the research into gambling started in and around 2007.
Okay.
6 years later, this report was published. But we've had successive different governments between that time.
Sure.
What brought it about? It's hard to say. I mean, the person, the Minister of State is James Brown. He initiated the appointment of a regulator,
mm-hmm.
And that lady was appointed some months back. I suppose it's something that was always simmering.
Yeah.
But I can't think of any one event that happened where they said, let's get this done,
right.
except to say gambling became, you know, it grew exponentially during COVID. especially online gaming, sure, to a dangerous point.
Sure.
And I think that's probably one of the pushes that said, we need to do something, you know.
Right. So what is possible under these new laws in terms of gambling expansion? Can they build an IR?
The answer is I'm really not sure, Roger. I'd love to be able to tell you. Things are still up in the air, very much so. I mean, there's several issues that have to be teased out. I mean, there's a strong belief still, and I do know that, within government and within the new regulations, that the permission for a gaming club or casino should still lie with local council. So we have local council all over the country, you know, local council Galway, local council in Cork. I'm against that myself for many, many reasons. But there's still a belief that it should be local council who makes the decision. Should they have a casino in Galway? Should they have one in Cork? Et cetera, et cetera. There's an awful lot. That's just one area that needs to be looked at. They also need to know, you know, things like alcohol. Will alcohol be allowed to be served in the casino? That has to be defined. Like, can you drink and gamble? Well, like, that's always been a law in this country you could never do.
Yeah.
You could never drink in a licensed premises. Now, when I say licensed premises, that's licensed to sell alcohol.
Right.
So if you have a license to sell alcohol in Ireland and today, you're not allowed to gamble in a licensed premises.
Okay.
That's a law that needs to be changed. That has to be adjusted, because the only one law that I know that's connected to this whole business of gaming, the one law we do know is you're not allowed to gamble in a licensed premises. So that has to be looked at. And there's no talking about that. Nobody's talking about that. So when you ask me that question, where is the development? Where's the future? Where's the improvements going to come from? We're going to need to know an awful lot more. We need to find out an awful lot more how the government's thinking about this.
Okay. How do these regs treat the existing gambling houses?
Okay, so slot machine business in Ireland, there's probably over 200 slot machine arcades in the country. This has always been frowned upon. It's not the real experience that you would know, Roger, or I would know, where you have a casino. It's very plush. It has a restaurant. It's a night out. It's a social engagement. That doesn't exist in Ireland at the moment. But what does exist is many, many, many slot machine arcades. And that is not, for me, it's not the right experience. That's not what gaming is about. Gaming for me is it's both. So I think there really needs to be a wake-up call there as to how to present the casino or any gaming establishment. It should have live game. It should have slot machines. It should have restaurant. It should have good facilities. And I think that's a bit of a road that we need to go down. We need to travel down. Okay. We're not there yet.
Have they established a universal tax rate for any of this stuff? Or is it, again, is this a local council decision?
That's a good question. It might as well be. Okay, there's a very simple answer, Roger. Because we don't have gaming legislation in Ireland, we don't have a thing called gaming tax.
Okay.
So what they've done is, what we do have is VAT.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is value-added tax. This would be in Starbucks or any retail outlet. You know, where you go to a restaurant, you get charged a VAT on your bill.
Right.
Now, that can range from 12.5% to 23%. They're the two rates.
Yeah.
Presently, the government, in its wisdom, because they didn't know what to do, and because they don't have a specific gaming tax, they attached 23% VAT to all gaming establishments, whether it's a private members club or whether it's a slot machine arcade. Right. So it's 23% purely because, and you and I both know, if you go out for a meal, if you buy a television set and you see your VAT added to it, you understand that.
Sure.
It's very hard to understand it at 23% tax on gaming. We're not selling anything.
Sure, right.
The service. So that's confusing and that's complicated. I'm assuming that will have to be obviously looked at with the new legislation where they have a proper gaming tax.
Sure, sure. Well, let's talk about this new regulator, Anne-Marie Caulfield. She seems like a lifelong bureaucrat. Do you believe she has any understanding about how gaming works as a business?
No. you know, that's the short answer.
Right.
Now, normally, if I was working in the industry for 4 or 5 years, I would have thought that was probably perfunct or arrogant. But after spending over 40 years in the business, I can say that. I'm okay to say that. Because from what I know, obviously nothing against the lady herself. I've never met her.
Right.
But she comes from a background. She was with the RTB, which is the Residential Tenancies Board.
Uh-huh.
That's basically a mediator between a landlord and a tenant. It's
right.
to make sure that there's, you know, everything's running smoothly. And prior to that, in fact, most recently, she was part of the OCR program, which is an independent examination of all government departments to make sure they're achieving their objectives.
Right.
So I don't see anything within that that would represent, which is what is required, which is an extraordinary experience
sure.
and knowledge of right. the gaming world, not just in Ireland, but internationally.
Sure. It seems like she would need some sort of, you know, imagination too, to really see. Obviously, gaming works different in every country, and I'm sure it works different in Ireland. But you can copy from various jurisdictions. Do you have any indication that she's looking at how gaming regulatory systems operate in other jurisdictions?
I do know that they have visited other jurisdictions. I think Malta might have been one of them, which obviously wouldn't come to mind for me to
right.
learn anything
right.
from Malta, purely because of the, you know, the absolute debacle they made of gaming in
sure.
general,
right.
whether it's anti-money laundering or actual just good practices. It wouldn't be a country I would visit to get information on. However, I think that's the case with most regulators in new countries. There's very few new countries left. I mean, I think Ireland probably
right.
is the last to regulate.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, I think it's part and parcel, Roger, that they have to visit other jurisdictions and find out how they've dealt with the issue. But then you and I both know how many countries have almost destroyed the industry by not bringing in proper regulation.
Sure.
You know, regulation, in my opinion, should, you know, number one, and always will be, to protect the young and protect the vulnerable. That has to be the first one. And that's something I think they need to do because of the trouble that they themselves caused many years ago. But the second one is also to invite investors to come to a country and prevail. Companies with good reputation, new jobs, you know, tourism,
sure.
all of these things are very much firmly attached to our business, the industry as a whole. And I think there has to be a positivity within that person. Whoever's flying the plane, they need to have a positivity about gaming. If it's a negative response, we could find out that the taxes are set wrong or the regulations are so tight. I mean, we all remember what happened in 2005 in the UK.
Right.
And let's be honest, the UK, America has done a wonderful job with gaming over the years, but the UK was beginning to build reputation with the way they licensed staff and,
sure.
and stuff like that. But then in 2005, they brought in deregulation. And let's be honest, there was a few choice words from some of your countrymen who came over here to invest.
That's true.
They didn't like the setup and they didn't like the regulations
sure.
up there. So they almost destroyed the industry by doing that. So I'd be worried that there's a danger that tampering with the industry as well can have an adverse effect where nobody will come to invest.
Right.
And the existing people who are here just will not find it worth their while.
Right.
You know, I do worry about that.
Sure, sure. So you mentioned earlier about how the slot arcades almost appeal to children more than adults. So what kind of, are there any kind of responsible gaming elements built into these new regs?
Yes, very much so. And I mean, that is interesting because, although I have to say, Roger, the focus seems to be on the sports betting online companies.
Uh-huh.
For example, you cannot use a credit card now.
Right.
If you go onto one of the Paddy Power websites, you cannot use credit card because that's deemed as not allowed. You can use a direct debit card,
right,
which proves that you obviously have the money. You're not taking it from somebody else. You're taking it from your own account. I can see restrictions heavily being brought in there of how much spend you're allowed. There's a big issue on advertising because, as you know, Ireland has a history of great sportsmanship here between rugby,
right,
the Gaelic football itself, which is the Irish football. There is a tendency where they're using these sports, it's sports washing, if you like, but they're using the sports to promote their online game gambling.
Right.
I think there's going to be some heavy, heavy, heavy restrictions on all of that.
Yeah.
So I think advertising, marketing, you can see that coming. I think that's what I'm reading anyway, that will definitely be a no-no.
Right. So, you know, Paddy Power, now Flutter, has become one of the major gaming companies in the world in terms of online gaming specifically. Is this going to impact them in any way? And might they move their offices out of Ireland if that's the case?
Well, to be honest with you, they'd only be moving furniture, Roger, because the main brains of the industry is obviously in their service, as I said before, or not in Ireland.
Right.
There's no gaming company that has their servers here, because of the law, obviously. I think Paddy Power, you know, not just to focus on Paddy Power, but if even William Hill, which are making an entry, I think, into America as well, quite big, Ladbrokes, I think their job is to stay ahead of the regulation.
Right.
I think they're doing that quite well because they're advancing into different jurisdictions where maybe the laws are not as strict as they're coming in Europe, for example.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think they're probably staying way ahead of the game. But there's always going to be an impact. My issue is, you know, if we look at land-based operations, there was always a Monopolies Commission where, you know, they check, well, there's a casino there. You can't have another casino 2 miles away and thing. With online, there doesn't seem to be any Monopolies Commission. You can actually just keep going. There's no restriction on that. And I think the more jurisdictions they collect, the less effect any of these regulations will have on them. I think they'll just carry on.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, great. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of uncertainty still to go here. I mean, you've just told me more of what you don't know than of what you know. So,
yeah. Well, Roger, I always ask the question. It's like, as you know, I've worked worldwide.
Yes.
In many different, from the first casino in Moscow to, you know, South America to Caribbean to Africa, and all of these jurisdictions. And imagine you go back to your country of your birth and you're advising carpenters of how to train and how to do their job.
Right.
But the government's decided that these people, it's illegal now to actually be a carpenter or to get involved in carpentry in any way.
Yeah.
Well, my trade is casinos, and it's been a tough one. Yeah, coming to a country to consult,
right?
And you know, who's going to look for the services of a consultant when there's no regulation,
right?
So it's been a tough slog. It's very hard to advise investors. I mean, I have investors who phone me and they say we want to do this, this, and this, and you know, this is very important with the as far as I'm concerned for it, the regulators. They need to put a roadmap in place, Roger.
Sure.
Because if you go to any other country, there's rules of this. If you want to open up a casino, you need to do this, 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 this. In this country, you could probably go for planning with local council and get planning, and then get refused for something else. There's no straight road, and I think the roadmap needs to be drawn for an investor when they come to Ireland. This is what you need to do if you want to open this type of business.
Sure.
And that doesn't exist at the moment. So in some ways I can help in that respect. I know, but I've had to curve. I've had to go round.
Sure.
Because even for me, there is no roadmap.
Right.
So I suppose to sum it up, it's difficult work as a consultant to work in a grey jurisdiction.
Sure. Well, you know, Ireland is such a beautiful country, and you know, you have some great tourism, but, you know, if you had an IR with a, you know, a huge convention center and maybe golf courses and things of that nature, I mean, that would you know, really boost the tourism there. And I'm surprised that the politicians haven't really, that hasn't clicked for them.
Well, in my opinion, I agree with you, Roger, because as a country, we're, in my opinion, we're probably the best placed for a resort-style casino because we've great golf courses, as you right. say. We've got a fantastic horse racing connections. We've got horse racing, which is transmitted all over the world. And you remember, because I think you remember this, Roger, do you remember we done the piece on the Tipperary project?
That's right, yeah.
Well, that was a resort-style casino. Right. And that was panned at the time by the Minister of Justice at that time was Alan Shatter. And he says, no, Ireland doesn't need a resort-style casino.
Right.
And yet your opinion and mine is completely different because we have great golf courses. We've got fantastic racing festivals. You know, to me, that's forward vision of the industry. That's where we should be heading.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No question. There's a lot gaming could do for Ireland, and it seems like they're turning their back on gaming. So.
Yeah.
So JJ, thanks for taking the time to talk with me. I really appreciate it. You know, I'm gonna miss you at ICE this year, but maybe next year we'll catch up again in person. And you know, yeah. If you get to Vegas for G2E, I'll be there for sure.
Oh, that'd be lovely, Roger. You didn't go to ICE last year, did you?
No, it's been 3 or 4 years now. So
that was the one to dodge. Yeah. Unfortunately, I did go, but yeah. I should have dodged it because that was unless you're interested in payment providers,
right? Right. You know? Exactly, right.
None of the land-based people came, but look, I've been told this year is going to be great, and yeah. I'm looking forward to it. And they're a good bunch of people there at Clarion, so hopefully. We'll all have a great time. And
yeah.
I'll miss you, Roger.
Yeah.
But I might see you in Vegas.
My wife is going, so she can fill me in on everything. Again, thanks, JJ, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, you look after yourself, Roger. Thank you.
Okay,
enjoyed great. It. Thank you.
Hey, can you
recording stopped?
That was good. Can you send me your headshot so I can include that in it? I know I've got one.
Oh, yeah, just a pic. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll let you know when this goes up, probably in a couple of weeks or so.
Oh, cheers, Roger. Thanks so much.
There'll be days like this.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, sponsored by Global Payments, the gaming industry's only vertically integrated payment provider, offering solutions that create a simple, secure, and more effective way for patrons to wager and fund their play. Read more about the full suite of gaming solutions available at globalpaymentsgaming.com. To learn more about gaming in Ireland and all other parts of the world, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.
Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this. Oh, my mama told me, she said, there'll be days like this.